It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, it's our weekly look at Congress. This week, the Keystone XL pipeline and immigration measures are under heated debate.
First, the latest Burden of Tobacco report from UW-Milwaukee shows that the price of tobacco use, both in health costs and loss of productivity, have continued to rise.
The estimated annual costs are now at $4.6 billion, a cost that's equal to about $528 a year for every person in the state. As the debate on the state budget heats up, supporters of smoking cessation programs say getting people to quit can make economic sense for Wisconsin.
Here with us now is Sarah Solly, Wisconsin Government Relations Director at the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. Sarah, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, the trend in Wisconsin and around the nation, it seems, is that the number of people smoking is going down. And it wasn't too long ago that we talked about the number of teens smoking is at an all-time low. So why are the costs rising?
Well, you know, with the trends going down, that doesn't mean that all of, you know, sort of the health effects of smoking are going to be immediately seen. We're happy about those trends going down with traditional cigarettes being used, but there are all of these other products, you know, little cigars and other tobacco products that are still causing health problems for folks in this state.
So is it a matter of taking into account things like little cigars and e-cigarettes, or is there a lag between people quitting smoking and then us seeing the health savings?
I think it's both. I think that, you know, there are some things that we can do to continue to, you know, keep these numbers going down with use of tobacco.
In terms of tabulating the price of tobacco, the burden, how do you calculate that?
Well, the report is actually pulled from data at the Centers for Disease Control, and it's done every 5 years.
When we talk about the price of tobacco, the burden placed on Wisconsin in this instance, can you give us a sense of what those things are that the state is paying for?
Sure. I mean, there's certainly obviously health care costs and loss of productivity. You know, obviously the things that you know, people are suffering from cancer and heart disease and those kinds of things, folks on Badger Care, our premium rates are obviously part of that with all of these health concerns directly related to tobacco use.
Wisconsin lawmakers are about to begin debating the budget. Do you see this, the costs of tobacco on the state, as something that is an outstanding issue that needs to be addressed budgetary-wise?
Well, certainly, you know, it's timely, as you said at the beginning of the show, to have this report released, and we will use this as we meet with lawmakers and talk about some of the things that they can do. One of the things we'll talk about is the tobacco prevention and control funding. Currently, Wisconsin funds that program at $5.3 million. It's only 9% of what the CDC recommends. You know, we're happy to report, you know, some of these things that have come out in the last few months about smoking rates going down. You know, we can directly attribute that to, you know, this program funding and some of the education, the quit line that's out there, you know. But we would say that the quit line is not able to meet the demands and that all of these, you know, services on education around these products are not sort of throughout the state. And so, you know, those are some of the things that we'll be talking to lawmakers about when we talk about, you know, this report.
So Wisconsin only spends 9% of what the CDC recommends. How come?
Well, that's a good question. I think, you know, we have seen, you know, this number a lot higher. But I think that we've seen, you know, some tough budget times in the past. And we're hoping, though, that this program is not seen as something that can be cut.
Now, you mentioned the quit line being understaffed or the need to expand that. What would happen if you did have the person power there to meet the needs of Wisconsin on the quit line?
Well, I would say that the quit line is one area that we definitely know works for people. It offers, you know, free counseling and free cessation products for folks, and I think that it, you know, if people had access to that at a higher rate, you know, we would see these numbers, you know, even better for us in terms of people that were able to quit.
And you mentioned services being extended to the whole of Wisconsin. Where do you see gaps in coverage of these services?
Well, I would say in some of, you know, the smaller communities, I don't have the exact, you know, geographical locations, but, you know, as we talk about, you know, traditional cigarettes and the use of traditional cigarettes going down, but these other reports that have shown using things like little cigars and electronic cigarettes and, you know, some of these other, you know, clever new products that the tobacco industry is putting out, we see a real need in all of these areas that are even currently being served for the education to continue on, you know, what these products look like, what parents are needing to look for, you know, in their kids' backpacks and things like that.
Well, I've heard about e-cigarettes, and I know that the use among teenagers is up pretty high, especially in Wisconsin. I don't know as much about little cigars. Tell us what those are and why they might be a danger.
So little cigars really are an actual cigarette that's just wrapped in brown paper, and oftentimes they are candy flavored. They come in a package that looks very similar to a cigarette. And currently, the loophole that exists is that they're not taxed at the same rate as a cigarette. And we will say that these are definitely a cigarette. They just come packaged a little bit differently, wrapped in brown paper. Currently, you can buy little cigars, and the tax on those is around 65 cents. A pack of cigarettes, a tax on that is $2.52. And if that loophole was closed and these were taxed at the same rate as cigarettes, it would certainly be a price point that maybe kids could not afford these products that are candy flavored and definitely marketed and geared towards their age group.
Some of the science is still out on how harmful things like e-cigarettes are, but is this something that you're concerned about?
Well, we're definitely concerned about e-cigarettes, mostly because they're unregulated and so little is known about this product. At this point, we're treating them like a tobacco product until we get, you know, a few years of research behind us, you know, from the FDA and that kind of thing. But, you know, initial studies will show that these are, you know, quite harmful.
And how about little cigars? Same thing.
Well, little cigars are definitely harmful. We do know that. These are just, like I said earlier, you know, a cigarette that is candy-flavored and wrapped in brown paper. So they actually aren't even really being called the right thing. They're called little cigars because they're smaller than a traditional cigar and wrapped in brown paper, but what they actually are is a cigarette.
Now, the rate of Wisconsin teens using e-cigarettes is 75% higher than the national average. Why do you think that is? Why in Wisconsin?
Well, you know, that's a good question. We're as shocked by these numbers, I think, as everyone is. Because they're so new, I think we still have, you know, a lot to figure out on these, including, you know, why Wisconsin youth are using them, you know, and maybe, you know, work to educate, you know, families and lawmakers on these products and what they are. What we're finding actually is, you know, as we talk even to our colleagues internally here about these products or some of our volunteers on these products, it's a conversation that can go on and on and on. There's so much that is unknown and so much interest in learning what these products are and what they actually, you know, what they're claiming to be versus what they really are and you know, unregulated. And so many manufacturers of these products, these e-cigarettes aren't even labeled. The you know, we don't even really know what's in them. And again, there's so many manufacturers of these products, we just simply don't know, you know, what folks are in inhaling.
Is there evidence out there to suggest that teens start out by smoking e-cigarettes? As they get older, they maybe graduate to just using tobacco products?
Well, one thing I will say is they are such a new product. I don't think we have the data on whether or not, you know, these are definitely a gateway to using traditional cigarettes. I will say what they are is, you know, they're nicotine, and you become addicted to the nicotine, whether it's an e-cigarette or a cigarette. And so, you know, potentially, you know, we would think that this has the potential to, you know, get them to start and become addicted to nicotine. And then, you know, if they're following the law and aren't able to use a cigarette until they're 18, you know, maybe they'll switch over to a traditional cigarette.
Now, in terms of what we know about what works, what gets people to quit smoking, what do we know?
Well, the things that work are counseling, the patch, gum, all of these things that are CDC or FDA approved cessation devices. And so we will continue to recommend all of these products that have gone through the proper, approval process to become a cessation device.
Sarah, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
We've been speaking with Sarah Solly, Wisconsin Government Relations Director at the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. The group just released a report about the economic costs of tobacco use here in Wisconsin.